State Affairs Committee to order at 8:46 on the 13th of February, 1990. Is there anybody on the line?
Carter Forsyth. She's with us in a moment.
We'll call State Affairs Committee to order at 8:46 on the 13th of February, 1990. Let the record show that Representative Hanley, Representative Zawacki, Representative McLean, and Representative Finkelstein are present. The legislation that is before us is House Bill 327, an act relating to contributions to a campaign for public office. Refresh my memory, David. Has the committee substitute been adopted yet? I know you worked on the committee.
It was adopted.
It was adopted.
We have new copies of the order. It should be in the files.
27 is in the files.
So maybe the first thing in order is maybe from the principal sponsor, Representative Finkelstein. There was a subcommittee that worked on the legislation since our last meeting. Do you want to report on that? And we are online with Carla Forsyth listening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does everyone have in their packet a new committee substitute dated 212? I only have one 2-7.
Yeah,
you got 212?
No, I've got a 2-7. Nope.
They all seem to have 2-7, so might be good to make some. We had a subcommittee meeting yesterday, and there were a number of questions and concerns that came up, and I'll go pretty quickly through them. I'll take them out of order because some of them are easier to explain when you have a copy of the committee substitute in front of you.
Okay.
One of the concerns was on the section 4, which relates to municipalities and states' violation of that section, that it should just have a monetary penalty fine added to it. This was in the APOC memo, which Dennis has copies of.
They're all in the back of their packets.
Yeah, it's about 6 pages in it, but it was one of the things in there that wasn't in our bill. And my conclusion after their memo is that it was something that we should add. There was a two examples in the memo of questions from the commission. That one of them was, would communications by a corporation and a labor union with their members, would that be considered a contribution? And I talked to the bill draft on that question. The answer is no, not the way it's written. Another question was, in the memo from the commission, would the contribution approach, such as was done in the past by VECO with consecutive checks, would that be allowed under this? And the answer was no. The bill drafter was going to talk to Carla at the commission again about that. Another item that was in the memo was the idea, if we're going to have year-end reports for the municipal races be due 45 days after the closeout's 45 days after the election, we ought to provide an additional 2 weeks for the turning in of that report. That was in the commission's recommendations, and I think that's a good point, and we should conceptually add that amendment.
What date would that make be?
Well, in my suggestion, it would be 59 days after the election, the report would be due for a municipal race.
Which would?
This is for a municipal race.
Yes.
Their books would close 45 days afterwards, and by 59 days, they'd turn in the report.
Okay. Which would make it about the end of January?
No.
These are for municipal. Oh, Yeah, if it's an October race, no, it would be December 6th in that area.
All right.
For their deadline. The idea is to make it similar to the way we're treating state races, which are given about the same time period. There's also going to be municipal races in the spring now in Anchorage, if my memory is correct, so.
Well, I think one of the things that Representative Donnelly was talking about was you get that last bank statement in order to be able to close it out. I guess the bank statements vary from, let's say, the 20th or 25th of the month to sometime around the 10th or the 15th of the month. And especially in that last month, sometimes it's difficult to close out your bank statement.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. And I think for municipal races, it's essentially going to be 2 months after the election's over.
Oh, right. So 16 days or something.
Beg pardon?
Yeah, I mean, 59 days is almost 2 months. A concern that Representative Hanley brought up was on page 2, line 26.
Now, are we referring to the 212-90?
Yeah.
Well, let's get that before us then. Representative Zawacki.
Mr. Chairman, for conversation of the committee substitute, I do a committee substitute for House Bill 327, dated 212-90.
Any objections? So moved. We now have the committee substitute 212-90 before us. Go ahead, Representative Finkstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question that Representative Hanley brought up was on page 2, line 26, which is why should we remove the words to or expend? And I asked the bill drafter that question. It's a drafting adjustment. They're trying to remove excess words. And the way they view it is that there's three possibilities for giving money. One is giving money to a candidate. Another is giving money to a group. And a third is giving money as an independent contribution or independent campaign. And those three are the only three possibilities in the world. That's the entire realm of choices that one faces.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't necessary to say or expend, contribute or expend, because that's essentially the only ways you can expend money is in those three areas. Two of them are being prohibited here, and one of them is allowed as an expression of free speech, the independent campaign, independent effort. The other question Representative Hanley had was in the next line below that, on behalf of or in opposition to, and the answer I got was the same there, that the only choices are giving to a candidate or giving to a group or an independent expense, and that this prohibits the money to a candidate or to a group. The only other expense allowed, the only other expenditure allowed, contribution allowed, is independent expenditure, which would be allowed anyway. Does that make sense?
No.
Representative,
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and to the sponsor of the bill, I guess we were that probably, I haven't analyzed it, looking at you can give to a group, you can give to a candidate. I guess we were looking and thinking that might possibly create a loophole that, okay, you may not contribute more than $1,000 a year to a candidate. You could contribute $1,000 in opposition to a candidate, but I would assume that would then fall under either to a group opposing a candidate or to an independent expenditure that you're referring to.
Right, or a opposing candidate, which would also be covered. That contribution to an opposing candidate would be covered because it's still a candidate, even though it's not the candidate you're supporting.
I think
from the point of view of just drafting law, the bill drafters concluded that the idea of separating in support of or in opposition to, that's almost a subjective matter in terms of the requirements of law. It's just a question of, are you giving to a group, are you giving to a candidate, or is it something else that they couldn't distinguish in law in support of or in opposition to? There are groups out there, it's hard to tell, what their, you know, angle is.
Well, on the subcommittee, and I usually like to involve a member of the public, why don't you come on up here? I had Lois Champagne, right?
Louise.
Louise. On the committee. I'd just kind of like maybe to get a feel. Representative Donnelly was on it. Try to make that as balanced as possible, so you have a member of the minority on it, also a member of the civilian community. How do you feel about the legislation that's before you now? Are there other...
I feel comfortable with it. I had one question yesterday related to the section on information, but the information shall not advocate, and I still feel that's kind of a contradiction in terms, because I think the legal definition of information, as the cases have defined it, information doesn't advocate, but it's a minor.
Which section was that in?
Section
3. 4, page 3.
Line 26, I think.
And I would still feel slightly more comfortable if it would say, so long as the municipality or state does not advocate a position. It's line 26.
Representative Hammond, your feelings on the legislation or the work that the subcommittee did?
Mr. Chairman, I think that most of the questions have been answered, but when I reviewed the suggestion made by Louise Champagne, I think it does read more clearly. If you read that sentence, including a ballot proposition, a ballot question, if the state or municipality does not advocate a particular position. I don't know if that, I think it makes it very clear. Now, whether that's a necessary amendment, but I think it does make it very clear that the state or municipality is not supposed to be advocating a particular position, but simply providing information.
Representative Finkelstein, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's a good suggestion. It certainly clears up the understanding of an English, if nothing else. So I think it's appropriate.
Well, maybe you could take a minute and put down an amendment that you feel would be appropriate to correct that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just move that we strike the word information and replace it with the word state or municipality.
Beg your pardon now. How would that read?
It there's actually three amendments based on the APOC memo that I'd like to make, and all of them are essentially conceptual. Here, though, I think the words, we have a series of words we're using up above, which are the entities affected by this. I think all we need to do is, in my amendment, is to remove the word information and replace it with those words relating to state or municipality.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any objections? You wish to speak to the amendment?
Oh, the amendment that we just had?
Correct.
No.
Okay.
I do have, when the time is right, Mr. Chairman, I do have two other amendments I mentioned in going over that just reflected views of the commission.
Why don't we go ahead through those then?
I'd like to move, Mr. Chairman, that we add to the section on 45 days for municipal report that being closed out, that the report would be due 59 days. After the election.
Where would that be on this?
That would be... That would be on page 1, line 28.
Which one now? Page line.
Page 2, line 19.
Page 2, line 19. Okay, that ends. You would remove 45 and put in what, 90?
It would be just an additional line added there, which would be reflecting the a date similar to the February 15th date. there's an approach above where we say January 12th, we close out the account for state campaigns, February 15th, the report's due. This would just say 45 days after the closeout, 59 days after report due.
What, how would that read then?
I was offering as a conceptual amendment. I did speak to the bill drafter about it. He said it was straightforward and had no problem in drafting.
Representative Hanley?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm just questioning, why 59? Why not 60?
60 found me too.
Sounds like kind of an odd, an odd figure to come up with.
Mr. Chairman, I amend that to 60 days.
60 days.
You don't have to amend it, not either, yeah.
I meant to amend my amendment.
Are there any objections?
Then the last one, Mr. Chairman, is to, on section 4, to, which involves criminal penalties, to add on that on page 6, there's a list of items that are subject to monetary penalties, and to add in there the a penalty provision suggested by the commission, which would just be a apply a fine to that same section for violations. It's similar to what we've done in C&D. In C&D of this section on page 6, we've said when someone fails to identify communications and when they fail to identify communications, they can be subject to a fine of not more than $250. The idea is that the commission isn't in a position to prosecute those kind of failures because they're criminal fines and they just want to, they're criminal penalties, they just want to be able to offer a fine so that they could have an appropriate remedy. The language that I'm bringing up comes out of the commission memo, which we all have, which is on page, third page of the commission memo. So to reiterate, Mr. Chairman, the amendment is to add to section 6 a civil penalty of up to 3 times the violation for a violation occurring under section 4.
Are you proposing that as a conceptual amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. That's the last one of the ones from the commission memo.
Is there any objections? Representative Hanley?
Mr. Chairman, maybe would the sponsor go over that one more time and where it would be placed in the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be placed on page 6 in, there's a series there, B, C, D, E, F. It could be placed in this area, which is the civil fines portion of the statutes, and it would be a reference to section 4 stating that civil fines would be an alternative for up to 3 times the violation for violations of section 4.
And then section 4 is the section that does refer to the state agencies of the state and corporations campaigning or providing information or perhaps violating the intent that they have done more than provide information. So we're suggesting civil penalties if they are actually campaigning in support of a bond issue or something of that nature.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
That's the end of the amendments I had coming from the commission's letter, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any comments? Representative Zawacki, you?
I figured I was going to jump right in there.
No, I thought that you had an earlier comment and hadn't had a chance to express it, if not, fine.
No, first area that I have concern, and I'll just touch lightly on some of my comments at the last committee hearing that we want, and again, I think what we're doing out there just looks like it's simplifying the process in regards to people getting involved in who can donate money and who can't. But I think, unfortunately, we're reacting to a perceived problem out there. Abuses within the system, I firmly believe that majority of abuses within the system have been just, you know, mistakes or overlooking deadlines in regards to filing the paperwork that the commission requires to all of us out there. And I guess I just, I feel uneasy about legislation coming through, trying to somehow emphasize that we have a large problem within the state, i.e. whether they be incumbents out there or whether they be new candidates out there. The one thing that I really still have a problem with on this bill, and Mr. Chairman, you brought it up, but I guess maybe I have a different position on that, and that's limiting individual candidates or, i.e. incumbents, to a maximum of 1,000. Because I really believe that what you're doing is threatening the candidate and not the incumbent. Because if an incumbent's been in office for 2 years or 20 years, he, unfortunately or unfortunately, depending on who wants to look at it that way, he has a better opportunity to gather money from individuals and groups and may not even have to worry about putting in his own money. Where a candidate who is just starting off has the problem of trying to build up support for his, you know, for his running, for his or he or she running for office out there. And by limiting to $1,000, you're saying to an individual out there, regardless of your belief that you want to run for office and regardless of your sacrifice, whether it be your time or your money, you're not going to be able to put your money in there. And I think what you're doing is a disservice to candidates out there, and almost guaranteeing incumbents the opportunity to continue to remain in office out there. The other area that I guess I have a problem with, I don't know how to go about it, but on page 6, when you talk about the penalties and everything, and then if there is any questions in regards to or disagreements by candidates or incumbents or groups, you say you can take, you know, subject to the matter and you can appeal it to the Superior Court. So unfortunately what you're telling an individual is the commission can decide and can fine you whatever they feel like, and if you don't like it, unfortunately, you've got to spend money and take it to court and challenge the commission. I think somewhere we have to find another mechanism other than forcing the individuals that we're talking in this bill, forcing them to go to court either to sue or fight the penalties that the commission has thrown out there. The commission is there to make it easier for us and candidates and individual groups. We're not here to make it easy for the commission. They're working for all of us out there, and we should need to find any mechanism to, you know, to alleviate the problem, especially having to go to court if they decide they, you know, at their will, that they want to fine you for whatever amount it might be.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually agree with Representative Wacky's points on both counts. On the Superior Court part of it, my understanding is we aren't adding that new appeal right to the legislation. We just relocated it when we changed around the section. It was in before, and you can see, you know, up above in the paragraphs above. But I do agree with you that we ought to be finding alternative avenues to avoid the courts in those cases. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Zawacki?
Yeah, I won't labor the point in regards to the appeal and taking the Superior Court. I think what I may try to do is, if this bill progresses and goes into the next committees, I may try to work with somebody and look at the statutes and somehow find a mechanism that we can avoid having to go to the courts to try to fight. I think we need another mechanism or another step out there, or some type of either review board or another appeal process directly back to the commission. I'll work on that. The one area that I, and I don't know if this is the time to do it, Mr. Chairman, but on page 3, line 1 and 2, where it says a candidate may not contribute more than $1,000 to the candidate's own campaign, at this time I would like to amend that and strike that out of this committee substitute.
You have a motion before us. That's fair. It was my request that was put in there. So.
Mr. Chairman, I'll say I'm going to vote against the amendment because our chairman wanted it, and he's been so helpful to me that
let me put it this way. It's you vote how you feel about it. Irrespective, this piece of legislation is going to move on because it's needed. My concern was that the rich man, incumbent or not, and we have seen it happen in the state, can come and dump $1 million or $500,000 into the campaign. And what about the incumbent then? I realize it was a Supreme Court case on this that said an individual can contribute all the money that they want, but that doesn't make it right. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's $1,000 across the board, period, and that should apply for everybody. If it's possible for me to write out a check for $100,000 for television time and you're running against me and you're a working person, hey, that's not a level playing field. And I am sure that this will be challenged in court. But I sometimes I think you need to do things. How many times have we tried Alaska Hire? And but I still believe that politics today, never mind about the incumbency, take a look at some of those people's paychecks. I mean, they're millionaires that can go out there, Hines, name them, through the United States Senate. There's more millionaires in there. So the rich are getting powerful, and the person that can't afford it. And I know myself, in one campaign, I had to actually go and get a mortgage to keep even with the amount of television the other person was putting out. So I guess that, we talk about a level playing field, well, I really want it level. And maybe that's to an extreme on the thing. So I'd like to have you vote on just how you feel. Forget about me being the chairman and being fair. If you don't like it, well, then vote it down. So, and in fact, I'm glad you put the amendment in. Representative McLean?
Thank you. I do have a question on that. Does that mean that it's monetary $1,000, or does it also include income contribution to your own campaign?
Ms. Chairman?
$1,000 is $1,000. You've got a point there, and I'm sure we could pick that apart. I was thinking of the monetary.
I can relate to that.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, in regards to, and I think you said we had commission on teleconference, but the law, as it presently states, regardless of whether it's your money or anybody donating money to you, it's $1,000, whether it happens to be in cash or in kind, is the maximum donation. And I construe this as saying that if you put $500 of your money into this campaign and then you give $500 worth of in kind, you have reached your $1,000 maximum.
All right, why don't you just, Representative Donnelly, excuse me, sir.
Mr. Chairman, you and I have worked together in Alaska Hire for years. You gave me a job and worked on it as a team. The difference between this and all the efforts we made on Alaska Hire was that with Alaska Hire, there was case law that backed this up. There was language that gave us a window of opportunity that we pursued. We never did anything that was directly counter to any Supreme Court case or any court case for that matter. I mean, we had a theory that we operated on, and it was a good theory because, as you saw, the new law, 2 out of the 5 Supreme Court justices said it was constitutional. Mm-hmm. So there was an argument. But in this area, I don't know of any argument that it's constitutional. And if the chair's got something, I'd really like to see that. And I do know that there are proposals before the United States Congress to amend the federal constitution to provide that the government could provide some reasonable limits on expenditures and campaigns. Myself, I always thought that the best way to get around this was to do what we can do, and that's to put limits on the length of campaigns. That's what other nations do, and it doesn't seem to be a big problem there. They have much shorter campaigns, and we could do that constitutionally. But I don't know of what the chair's theory is as far as to the exception to the cases that are on point with this, and that's going to be real important to me when I make my decision, because otherwise I think we're blocked, and it's hard just to, even if we think it's a good idea, to do it when there's a case directly on point against it.
May I respond to? There's a body of law. It's Buckley-Vallejo, and that was a pretty debated subject, if you read through the entire case history of it. And I don't like to quote unless I have the information in front of me. In fact, I think I've read the thing backwards and forwards because there's a very strong case that I was involved in, and the definition of an independent contribution and your ability to be able to make an in-kind contribution in an unlimited amount. Maybe there's only one opinion, but a constitution's a body of law. Maybe some of the things that went into our constitution in the beginning, everybody was opposed to. I just think $1,000 is $1,000 is $1,000. And you make it a level playing field. If one person can put more into a campaign, no matter from what sources, they're still good old George Washington's, and it creates an unlevel playing field. And so it's a philosophical point with me, and oftentimes philosophically I agree and disagree with law. But that's how I feel about it. I've had an opportunity to express it. The sponsor was kind enough to put it in. If it's voted out, well then fine, so be it. But I'm still going to continue to feel like that. So why don't we read your, so we're going exactly over it online. 12, what do you want to do, strike $1,000 out of it?
On page 3, on line 1, after subdivisions, and where it starts, a candidate,
right.
Go all the way through to line 2, and where it ends, campaign, I want to strike out that entire sentence.
Okay.
And if I may just one more time, respond on that. Again, for those who are on teleconference, I'm requesting deletion on page 3, line 1, starting with a candidate, and then going to page 2 and ending with own campaign lining, deleting out that entire sentence. And, Mr. Chairman, if I can maybe just respond real quickly one more time. I guess I look at it a different way. You can talk about, i.e., a millionaire coming in, but we're talking about state campaigns. I'm not here to answer on congressional campaigns. But the fact of the matter is, I really and truly believe that the candidate, any new candidate who wants to run for statewide office, in a municipal office in this case too, is going to be at the low end and being threatened because there is more support for an incumbent as they build up the number of years they've been in office. And unfortunately, the only way sometimes that a new candidate can counter or try to take on an incumbent is by money. And it costs money to run a campaign regardless of how you want to construe it. I don't see any millionaires in this state office. I commend them if they are. But the fact of the matter is I really think you're jeopardizing one side. Also, the comment that you had made of a constitutional aspect, I'm not an attorney, so I don't know all of that just out there. But again, what we're saying is if you as an individual or a group want to challenge this, you've got to go to court again. So you're going to have to spend your money to challenge something that may be unconstitutional out there while everybody else continues to go out and campaign and raise money. I just think you're threatening a system out there that, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't have a problem.
Okay, now let's be real on this. Take a look at the expenditures in the gubernatorial races with your state. Now go look at them. What is proposed to be spent this year, and without me naming any names, we got one high-rolling campaign that was up in the millions of dollars. Now what kicked that off? So don't tell me that a rich man doesn't have an opportunity. And in this particular case, that was not an incumbent. And the thing that the incumbents have got an advantage is not always right. Sometimes it's a disadvantage to incumbency. All I'm saying is $1,000 is $1,000. I don't care where it comes from. And actually what it does is sometimes it might place a person who's running for office at a disadvantage. You have to go out and borrow the money. Put yourself in hock to keep up with the other person. And there's got to be some leveling of the playing field. You go look at the Congress of the United States and the United States Senate and look at a lot of the governors. There's not too many poor governors out there. I mean, we may have one exception up on the third floor. But they're businessmen that can throw big bucks into the thing. And but as I said, it's philosophical. And why don't we go ahead and vote on your amendment?
Just one more. One more comment, Mr. Chairman. There are not a lot of us that run for governor. This legislation involves any and all candidates in the state other than governor. Also, I will say there was one candidate who ran for governor a few years back and spent almost $900,000 and lost miserably. So it's not based on it. I think an individual wants to spend his money or borrow that money. That's his right, how he wants to invest, you know, in the pot. If he truly believes that he could be representative of the state and he wants to sacrifice his time and his money, however that money comes from, he should have that right to be able to do that.
Representative Finkelstein?
No comment, Mr. Chairman.
Question.
Is representative...
Okay. He said vote without.
All those in favor of Representative Zawacki's motion, hold up your hand. Opposed.
David.
You want Donnelly in here?
A reconsideration.
Come on, let's get him back in here.
No, Mr. Chairman, I was joking.
Huh?
I was just joking, Mr. Chairman. I just want to move on to the next subject.
So. All right, okay.
I think
fine.
I'll come up with judiciary.
The amendment fails. Good, you can, that ought to make a lot. You get that over into with all the lawyers over there and judiciary, that'll make some interesting discussion too. Chair, I'll accept the motion to move it on to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
Object.
Object?
Am I right?
Well, certainly it's your right. This is a good... Got the juices flowing this morning. All those in favor of moving on to the next committee of referral with individual recommendation, let me see a show of hands. Opposed? Okay. And were you able to get that? Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr.
All right, we move on to the next committee.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
Carlos, David Finkelstein, I will give you a call and go over everything that you might have missed, because the chairman's on to another subject now.
Tell him Bill moved out.
It's moved out, Carla.
Okay, thank you.
And we can let all the millionaires come down here and storm the Judiciary Committee. I'll have my say for a short period of time. All right, next item before us. Look at those war chests out there. There's not a lot of war men.
I've been watching.
All right, what do we have before us now?
Mr. Chairman, I think...
Peter, we just had some legislation over that you people ought to be able to spend a month and a half on.
Yes, alone. Sir. That will be our intent. And
all right.
Provide it with a nurturing environment. I'm going to provide you with some relaxation at this point.
I don't want any relaxation.
Okay.
Get you going with it. All right, HB 492, nickname. The official nickname of the state is the Great Land.
Excuse me, this is Matt Sue.
Yes, sir.
Do we have anybody on?
Yes,
sir. Peter, go
yes,
ahead.
Sir. Thank you. This is a clerical bill, maybe more appropriate for the Rules Committee than an individual, but I happen to... If you take a look in your packets, I have to apologize, first of all, for the content of your packet. When I looked over it this morning, I found that there were a number of omissions that were unfortunate, and so I won't be using the packet very much, except for the first few pages. in the various, what the packet contains are entries from World Almanac, a variety of encyclopedias, a historical guide to state names, seals, flags, and symbols, and so on and so on. And they contain the mottos, flags, songs, etc., nicknames, populations of the various states. And if you take a look at the first page of the item in your packet, you'll find that the District of Columbia and Alaska are just about the only states that lack a an official nickname in their statutes. I thought the committee might want to consider whether you'd like to correct that. In some of these attachments, my apologies again, the Alaska pages are mostly missing. And the reason that they're missing is because my assistant trying to do what she thought I wanted her to do was demonstrating that none of those entries had a nickname entry for Alaska. And I would have preferred if she left the page in so you could see it, but that's what's happening here. You if you go through these various books, you find a variety of slogans and so forth for the various states, and that's the omission for Alaska. In a couple of these books, they have a variety of nicknames for Alaska. One of them said the Land of the Midnight Sun, another one said the Last Frontier. And I don't really care what it is or even if it is, but if we want to have our list of names and songs, etc., complete, we might want to officiate or make official our state nickname. And the Great Land is one which, when I did a little research several years ago on this, it's been sort of sitting around in my files for about 4 or 5 years, I found that that was the name which most people seem to believe was Alaska's nickname, and so that's how it got into the bill. Others, maybe with more historical knowledge, could speak to the various meanings associated with the word Alaska and so forth, but it's a pretty simple matter. It's up to you, Mr. Chairman, if you think it's something that should be done, and if you think the name is appropriate and your members, fine, and if not, I'd be happy to have you hold the bill and let the issue.
No reason to do that.
Rest. But this was the committee that I really wanted to have take a look at it and decide whether you felt action was appropriate or not.
Is there anybody else here that wishes to testify on this legislation? If not, the chair will accept the recommendation to move it on to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I make a motion to move it out of committee with individual recommendations, House Bill 492.
So moved.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, does this seem like, I'm very grateful for the rapid consideration by the committee. I'm looking for someone to affirm to me that this is the right nickname.
There's a lot of far goofier things in this that have come before.
Thank you very much.
I mean, if it's the alley-oop, is that not correct for Alyeska, Great Land?
Well, that was my understanding. And
I assumed that was the nickname, so it is now. On with tomorrow, next legislation.
Thank you, gentlemen and ladies and members, colleagues, friends.
All right.
Someone asked you on the telephone what was the nickname.
I said the Great Land.
You just said the Last Frontier.
Well, the land.
I'm not sure.
It was North to the Future on the license plate. This will eliminate some of the confusion.
Let's wait till we get it on the floor.
All right, okay.
Get the minority, give us
the minority. I think a nickname is a good idea. I'm not sure what she's asked for.
Moving along. legislation that we have before is House Bill 353, an act relating to public accountancy and providing for an effective date. We have people online that wish to testify. Christopher Robb, the Alaska State Board of Public Accountants, and Brian Tinker, who's the Alaska Society of CPAs. And I understand that also to observe is Marie Chandler, Bill Arnold, Kevin Branson. Is there anybody online out there that I may have missed?
There's two other sites online, sir, right underneath that one. I gave you three lists.
Oh, okay, all right. Then in Fairbanks, we have David Stevenson or Stephenson, Tom Bartlett, Kevin Walsh, Mike Cook, and Jeff Johnson, who wish to testify. Representative Boyer, could we hear from the people on the teleconference first so that,
sure, Mr. Chairman,
they have an opportunity to get there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would absolutely, given the time, prefer that you have people on the line. I think people have seen the CS. It's been milling around for about 10 days in the general accountancy environment, and so people that have something to say should be able to say that first.
Well, why don't we start Christopher Robb in Anchorage, then we'll go up to Fairbanks. And let's see, we also have in Matt Sue, Ida McMahon that is there observing.
If you've got people on that want to go ahead, it's
you've
fine.
Got a lot of people, they're not going to get. First of all, there was one of the concerns that rather the sponsor go through the bill or not. Does everybody have the committee substitute out there with them? That's 2390. Online, do you folks have that committee substitute in front of you?
Anchorage has a copy. Fairbanks has a copy.
All right. Why? We're going to try and get as far down, and what I would like to do is have each individual be able to comment so that if we have to carry this over to another, that your time today is not wasted. And I know it's early in the morning, so we want you to be able to testify in an expeditious manner, then give this sponsor an opportunity to go over the legislation. So if you could, it looks like we've got about 10 people, if you could limit your comments to the legislation itself, it would be very much appreciated. Christopher, why don't we start off with you in Anchorage?
All right. My name is Christopher Robb. I'm representing the State Board of Accountancy. Before us, House Bill 353. One comment that I would like to make about this bill, the majority of the verbiage before you is based on model language, which has been adopted by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and NASBAP, which is the National Association of State Board of Accountancy. This bill has been gone over at a national level, or wording that has been included in this bill has been gone over at a national level. And we are trying to adopt some pieces out of that model bill.
Red. Mike Cook is the chairman of the board. He's on a fair bill.
The major components of this bill are particularly sections 0804, 426 relating to quality reviews. This section provides authority to the board to require quality reviews as a condition of licensure. We have seen in the profession the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants moving towards this and requiring quality reviews of all practitioners, members of that institute. allow the CPAs that we grow here in Alaska to move outside if they so wish. And lastly, with regards to education, is the requirement for a broad education to adequately serve the public. The other issue relates to the minimum CPA exam score. Again, this is based on the model bill. This area has currently been adopted in a number of other states. And again, the reciprocity issue.
Who's on the board and thought that there was enough board representation?
This would provide our people in Alaska the availability of moving elsewhere if they need to. That's all that I have with respect to House Bill 353. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christopher. We'll go to Fairbanks now. Mike Cook. Mike, are you there in Fairbanks?
I'm here in Fairbanks.
Go ahead.
Could be just yes, but that's all right. The I think as Chris indicated that the intention of the bill is to bring Alaska a reasonable pace in line with professional developments throughout the rest of the United States. This bill happens to have something in it for everybody to dislike. I don't like the number 50 on page 4, because Alaska doesn't happen to have a lot of CPA coaching courses around like big cities do. I'd rather see it be down in the neighborhood of 30 or 40. There's a provision in there to in the quality assurance that I think is somewhat in that there's a provision that the board could not review some of the review reports, only know that people are participating in quality assurance programs. I'm not particularly fond of change in the bill to take two public members and let one of them be a non-certified accountant. I don't mind the change, which we had worked out earlier, and that
this
I did like, was
the
chairman
of the
bill that we, or the act that we have now.
I don't know why he's pointing out the negative
being
parts of what he's compromised.
I don't think that's fair, but I'm not real fond of having two public members. On the whole, however, I tend to support the bill pretty much as is, because I think that the areas of quality assurance, education, and so forth are really very important to Alaska. The original 1960 Accountancy Act has been pretty good. The major change in that over the years has been to bring in continuing professional education and to do housekeeping work, mostly through the operation of the sunset process over the years. I think that this particular bill would get the Accountancy Act into shape to last for another 10 or 15 years without major revision, and would bring us up some things that we know we've been tremendously far behind on. It's interesting to know that in most cases, the requirements that are in the bill are probably slower than are being done in other states, and I think for good reason. For instance, in most other states, a five-year education would be required by the year 2000. This bill suggests 2004, and it's to give us more time, which with our far-flung state, I think we need. And so on the balance, even though there are things I don't like, I think that the bill is a good one, and I'd like to see it go. I know that there are some difficulties with support for it, but I'd still like to see it make it through this year. I'd be glad to answer any questions if anybody has any.
What I'd like to do is, have we adopted the committee substitute yet? I don't believe we have we? It's been a motion to adopt the committee substitute dated 2-3-90. Are there any objections? That is before us now. I just wanted to get it on the record. You had a comment?
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is Mark Boyer. I would just like to say that I have worked with the board and I have worked with the independent accountants. I have not personally worked with the larger universe of certified public accountants, but there is a, I guess, a a process being undertaken right now to develop a consensus on the bill. The committee substitute's only been available around 10 days now to the certified public accountants. The bill is originally introduced was a product of that consensus building amongst the CPAs, and now I would like to suggest that it is a larger consensus now amongst the non-certified and the certified accountant groups in the state, and it will take a bit of time for everybody to develop the same comfort level about it. And as Mr. Cook had suggested, there are things in it that lots of people don't like, but the overwhelming support for the bill has to do with all of the public aspects of the bill, that it protects the public's interest, that it does in fact establish some new criteria for education in the future and phases that in over time, again with concern for the public's kind of right to know and the public interest in having certified people and educated people providing these kinds of services. So it's my sense that the consensus will develop, but that the certified public accountants who've had to just recently make another concession may take a few more days. But given the fact that the bill moves to Labor and Commerce now, and additionally to Finance because we picked up a CS, that there are going to be plenty of opportunities for people to continue to make their views known, and would hope that the committee could move the bill forward today.
Well, I certainly have no objection to that, unless there's an objection within the committee, because as late as last December, I met with constituencies from my area and I assured them that if the legislation in its current form was to threaten anybody's livelihood, we would not move it forward. But I am getting the feeling that the people feel that they have been involved in the shaping of this legislation. So I would have no objection to moving it on to the next committee. I recognize Labor and Commerce has got a full plate over there. So to unnecessarily delay it here, but that would primarily, if I had strong objections from any of the group out there on either side of it, we would hold it and work that out. But if I don't hear that today, we can move it on. We've got about 15 minutes left. And in that period of time, we have got about five more people to testify, and then an overview by the sponsor itself. We have to go into session at 10 o'clock.
We've got some minutes.
All right. We have a caucus at 10 o'clock, though. All right, why don't we go back, stay in Fairbanks for a minute. You mentioned the CPAs. I'd like to hear from Kevin Walsh. Kevin, do you hear me? Kevin Walsh in Fairbanks?
Yes, excuse me. I just took my coat back off. I have a 10 o'clock appointment as well. This is Kevin Walsh. I represent the Legislative Committee of the Alaska Society of CPAs. Can you hear me?
You're coming through fine.
Thank you. I agree with Mr. Cook in that there is something in this bill for everybody to dislike. I would pass along the concerns that I have heard from constituents, those being members of the Alaska Society of Certified Public Accountants. And basically, I've heard almost unanimous opposition to reserving a seat on the board, one of the present public seats. An accountant. I have also heard somewhat less opposition to quality review, and I would pass along those concerns for your consideration. In addition to that, the Alaska Society of CPAs has agreed on the December language as supporting this legislation, and basically the changes that have come up in the last few days have not had adequate review by the Alaska Society. My committee nor the board has had an opportunity to meet in formal session after hearing our constituents, and I would appreciate your consideration of additional time to allow us to get the comments of our members back to you to allow full public input. That's all I have. Thank you.
Kevin, when could that be? we could just carry the legislation forward. Once it's on the table, I can bring it up at any time. But one of the things that one needs to be concerned with, that during this first 90 days down here, although I think the public thinks we're operating in a vacuum, this is when the hardest work is done in all of the committees. And being the last half of the session, the next committee of referral is Labor and Commerce, and you can be assured that that'll be in there for 3 or 4 weeks. I guess what I am saying, would you prefer that it be held in this committee or moved on to the next committee, Labor and Commerce, where it can be brought up? I usually like to take care of everything that we can here. And if there's a strong feeling against moving it on and wanting to hold it here, we can do that.
I don't want to imply that I have a massive following relative to that. I'm just passing along the very sharp concern I received in a very short amount of time in which we've had since we heard about the changes. I'm, again, less particular relative to committees, no intended, as long as we're assured of some public hearing before some committee before it goes on any further.
You can assure that. In fact, the next committee of referral, I also serve on that committee, both Representative Boyer and myself, and you can be assured that any concerns that you have would be heard on it. And Representative Donnelly, who serves on State Affairs, chairs Labor and Commerce. So both Representative Boyer, myself, and Representative Donnelly would see that you had was an adequate opportunity. In fact, Representative... go ahead. Is that satisfactory, Kevin, or to anyone else that's listening online? If you have an objection to that, let me know, because our primary purpose is to serve you.
Brian Tinker, President of the Alaska Society of CPAs, and as President of the Society, I would definitely object to the substitute bill being adopted and passed on.
All right. Okay.
Who was that?
Tinker.
Who was that that was speaking?
Brian Tinker.
This is Brian Tinker, President of the Alaska Society of CPAs.
All right, Brian. Why don't you go ahead and testify?
Thank you, Chairman Boucher and committee members. Once again, this is Brian Tinker. I'm President, current President of the Alaska Society of CPAs. What's before us, I believe, is whether or not to adopt the substitute date 2-3 to the original draft of 12-18, December 18th, of this bill 353. Mark Moore indicated that there have been some collaborative work with the Alaska State Board of Accountancy and the Society of Independent Accountants. That is also my understanding. However, also consistent with what he said, the Alaska Society of CPAs was not involved in this, in the draft of this substitute.
The board, the 6 members of the board are...
Specifically, I'd like to address 2 issues. The first is OA-04020 on page 2, designating a seat for a non-certified accountant. The second is OA-04505-2-1, which put in the word shall relative to issuing regulations adopting alternative language for compilations by, once again, non-certified accountants. That's on page 8 of the draft that we have. We have surveyed our membership. Based upon that survey, based upon the recommendation of our legislative committee, based upon the unanimous resolution and vote of the board of directors, we are definitely against this substitute. We were in favor of the and support of the original December 18th draft. Our concerns are specifically that the
these licensing things.
But rather, what currently is an unlicensed accountant. We believe that that would be contrary to Order 840051 on page 1, since there would be no requirement for the unlicensed accountant, as we understand this draft, to demonstrate the competency.
Yeah, he hasn't seen religion yet, has he?
Just take a moment here to look at my notes. Also, there was a comment by Chris Robb representing the Civil War of Accountancy that the majority of language here is language that's been adopted on and approved on a national level, and I would agree with that except for these two specific issues. These issues, in fact, have not been and are not supported on a national level by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants nor NASDA. We feel that with these two provisions in here, as a society, we would have to fight for the defeat of the entire bill. There's nothing else in this bill that we feel as a society that we absolutely have to have, but these two provisions we are adamantly at this point against. That concludes my comments. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to respond. Also, Kevin Branson is here from the Alaska Society of CPAs. He's the president-elect, and apparently you didn't have him on your list as to speak, and they've been having trouble contacting you from down here, so if you could give him a brief moment, I'd appreciate it.
All right.
Yes.
Well, what we'll do now is, as I said, if there was strong objection from any member, I wasn't going to move the legislation forward. So what I'll not be moving it out of committee today. And what I will be doing is place it on a calendar. That means I can bring it up any time. So it would be my desire Wednesday, if the subject can be brought up, that's tomorrow, we would do it. So I would like to have you move as expeditiously as possible, and I would suggest that you contact the sponsor, because we have tried to involve as many people as we possibly can on. So I am sure that he will be in touch with you, and we can set up whatever is necessary to make sure that you are in the loop. It was my understanding that some of the board members were CPAs. So it's not something that is totally new to them, and you might be discussing that with them. So why don't we go ahead and, Brian, you testified. There's two more members of the public, David Stephenson, Jeff Johnson. We've got about 6 minutes left, and I would like to give Representative Boyer an opportunity to go over the legislation. Jeff Johnson in Fairbanks. Why don't you go ahead, sir?
Thanks, Dave.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Johnson. I'm a licensed CPA in Alaska. I'm also a board member of the State Society of Certified Public Accountants, Alaska Society. My main objection is paragraph 8.04.020, line 6, which deals with one member shall be an accountant who is not certified. As you've also heard, I have a real problem with what is an accountant who is not certified. That can be a veterinarian. We need a definition, or I'm more happier or with just the concept of the public member. The public members, I don't have a problem with them being an unlicensed member, but to directly point to something that we don't have a definition for, such as an accountant who is not certified, I don't believe serves a public purpose. And that's my only comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. I think we have one more person to indicate they want to testify. David Stephenson.
This is David Stephenson in Fairbanks.
Sorry for the mispronunciation, Dave. David Stephenson. Go ahead.
We appreciate the efforts that you and Mark Boyer put into this bill and long process of compromise that's resulted in CS HB 353. We have for a long time been monitoring and attending the State Board of Accountancy meetings at the expense of our own society. We were pleased and glad to finally get an opportunity to get legislation that would give us representation on a board that on a basis does provide language and statutes that affect our livelihood and our ability to do business. We're very pleased with the bill as it now stands. We would ask for you to support it. We don't feel that the language has changed substantially in regards to the compilation as as has been suggested on the other pages. We simply would like to have the board put that language in writing. We, of course, had asked that it be done statutorily and have compromised that they will give us good language regulatorily. We would rather see this bill go forward now. As Mike said, there are things that none of us like, but that's compromise. We like where it stands now, and we'd like our chance to be a part of the system. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mark, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes more. Do you want to wrap it up?
If there are other people to hear on the telephone.
Is there anybody else that wishes to testify that has not testified?
Kevin Branson. I'm the president-elect of the Alaska Society of CPAs. I think the two other members of the board that have spoke before me, Brian Tinker and Jeff Johnson, have expressed the concerns of the Alaska Society of CPAs. I've been in touch with some of the members, as many as I could contact, and I've got unanimous support for opposition to the bill or the substitute bill as it is now written. We do not feel that adding a seat for an accountant to the State Board of Accountancy serves the public interest. But based on that provision, we would fight to defeat the bill.
The board agrees.
Is there anybody else that wishes to testify?
This is Tom Bartlett in Fairbanks. I'm the chairman of the Alaska State Board of Accountancy. And I would only say that from the state board's point of view, we think the quality review provisions and the educational provisions of this bill are very important to the future of public accountancy in Alaska. We would hate to see the entire bill defeated because we're unable to reach consensus on what appears to me to be one sticking point, the actual composition of the board. And I would hope that we would be able to work with the independent accountants and with the CPA Society to reach a consensus on that matter. We will be attempting to reach that consensus over the next several days.
This is... Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Mark Boyer. The composition of the board currently is that of the two public seats, one of those public seats is in fact held by an accountant. Is that not correct?
No, that's not correct now. The two public seats are presently simply held by public members.
Okay, thank you.
The Mary Epperson, one of the public members who has just left the board, was an accountant, so she did have an accounting background. That was not a provision for her being appointed to the board, however.
Thanks. That was my understanding. I just didn't ask the question properly.
Is there anybody else that wishes to testify that hasn't testified? If not, the chair intends to hold this over and move it out at the earliest possible date. But since most of the work has been done in state affairs and there is, at the moment, a segment of the accountancy community that hasn't had an opportunity to review it, I do ask that you move expeditiously. I don't like to drag things out in this committee. We'll be holding hearings at 8:30 tomorrow morning and also on Thursday morning. You can feel free to use this office, my staff person, Dennis Burns, or Mr. Boyer's office get whatever information that you need. We would like to see some type of consensus on this so that we can move it on. And thank you very much for taking the opportunity to testify. And if you need to testify again on teleconference, we can determine that depending upon how the meetings go between, let's say, now and Friday.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Boyer again. I would just like to say as a comment at the end of the process here that it was not my understanding that the certified public accountants would be in opposition to the bill as with the addition of the non-certified public member, and I would hope that Mr. Tinker and the other CPAs would rethink that. I tend to agree with the board that the other additions to the bill and the strengthening of the process are very important additions to the statute, and would hope that the squabble, what I see perceived strictly from an outsider's perspective as a turf squabble over whether or not you have a regulated person represented on the board or not, not get in the way of the strengthening of the statute.
Thank you very much, and to the committee members, thank you. House State Affairs is adjourned at 10:06, and we'll